Hi again, everybody, moms and dads, boys and girls. You are in the Chatter Zone. This is episode number
176.
Our guest today is Susie Andrus. We're going to talk about one of my favorite saints, Saint Therese of Lisieux, after we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary,
that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Episode number, what did we say?
176.
Creeping up on us here.
Cruising right along, aren't we?
We're sponsored by our good friends over at Manders.
Manders Concrete. Jeff Manders, that's the guy to talk to.
Yeah.
Manders Concrete. Great people. So thank you to Manders Concrete for being our sponsor.
I hear they're building up the old St. Anthony campus into some beautiful apartments.
Apartments. Padua Place.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Like St. Anthony of
Padua. Right? And Padua Place has got that alliteration going on. So that's very nice.
Leave it to the Manders.
Yes.
To do that.
Jeff and Logan, that's great.
We've got a couple events coming up.
We do. So I'm not sure when this episode is going to air, but we have a couple rosary rallies coming up in October. Of course, it's the month of the rosary.
I love October.
October is awesome. And maybe people want to take it as a challenge to pray the rosary every day in October if they're not in
Please
the habit
do.
Of it now.
Please do.
Or maybe as their family, pray it after supper. But we've got a couple rosary rallies coming up here in October. October 4th, which is the first Saturday, at 11 o'clock, will be in Platteville.
Nice.
Up at St. Augustine's. And then the following Saturday, the second Saturday of October, October 11th, 11 o'clock, at Nativities in the Rosary Garden. Isn't that pretty?
With Sue Lukasik and John Lukasik, and that's always a big event.
It is. It's part of the America Needs Fatima Rosary, so it's always big. So maybe we'll be seeing some of our friends at those rosary rallies.
And if you haven't gotten tickets yet, you want to call and log in for the big October 9th event.
That's right. Mary Queen of Heaven Fall Banquet. That's the name of our fall banquet now, Mary Queen of Heaven. And this year, October 9th, we will be having Father Dwight Campbell come and talk about Mary, Queen of Heaven. That seems kind of appropriate.
I bought his book. It's several hundred pages.
Is it?
It's not a quick read.
Not a quick read? Yeah. But it'll be Thursday, October 9th. I'm sure that's what he's going to talk about. So that'll be great too. Maybe if we can have him talk about it first, it'll be an easier read.
Yeah.
We'll kind of get the gist. As usual, at the Best Western Hotel Ballroom on Dodge Street, the rosaries at 5:15, followed by dinner at 6, and then the program at 6:45. Tickets are $50.
Those are dinner tickets, by the way, just to cover the dinner.
Dinner tickets, $50, and they can call 563-231-3545 to get some tickets.
Or log online, kcrd-fm.org, kcrd-fm.org. You can get tickets there. Customer service at 563-231-3545. I think people, they don't even want customer service. They just want to call, talk,
yeah,
get tickets, talk.
Call Tom and talk.
Get
he loves to chat
and talk.
He loves to chat. You know, I love these conferences. It's so many great people are there.
So here's a comment. You know, I say they call up and they talk. It's really therapeutic just to come out and be with other Catholics.
It is.
Because some places it's not so popular to be Catholic, but this is a no conflict zone.
That's right.
It's a good time. And the comment is, you know, we get a good meal, we get to see our friends, we get to make some friends, have some dinner, hear a speaker, and that people don't want to go home.
That is true.
They don't want to go home.
That is true. So we love it. We love it.
Our guest is
Susie Andrus, and we're here to talk with her about a book called A Shower of Roses on St. Therese of Lisieux. But Before we get into that, we just want to know, well, who the heck is Susie Andrus?
Yeah, who are you really?
Susie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Colleen. It's delightful to be here with you and Tom. I am a Catholic wife and mother and author. I live in Southern California. I was born in Northern California and raised Catholic, and my parents in the 70s, they sent us to Catholic schools. And as I'm sure many of your listeners can relate to, I was very grateful to go to Catholic schools, but I did not learn my catechism very completely. Those were rough years in the 70s where, depending on where you were, you might not have gotten the fullness of the faith. So I did, stay Catholic when I think the saints have always been a big part of my life. And to tell about my life really is to tell about books and the saints. When I was a little girl, I'm thinking I might need to move where you are so I can go and live at Padua Place, because my family has a huge devotion to Saint Anthony of Padua.
There we go.
Yeah. So we'll start with that saint. When I was a little girl and I was going to be confirmed, I read a biography of Saint Anthony, a children's biography. And I thought, oh, I'll take Anthony as my confirmation saint. And my best friend's mom pointed out that my middle name was Antoinette, so I was already named after Saint Anthony, which I didn't realize, but it was true. As it turns out, I'm named after my paternal grandmother from Lebanon. Her name was Badouia for Padua. So there wasn't even a confusion about which Saint Anthony.
Wow. And,
I then read a biography of Saint Thomas Aquinas. And so I decided, oh, I love him. I'm going to take Aquinas for my patron saint. And then years later, when I was applying to colleges, I saw there was a Thomas Aquinas College in California where I lived. So I looked into it and found out, I mean, much later, I found out there are schools everywhere named after St. Thomas, but he had kept me happily in ignorance so that I was so surprised. You know, it was as if I had taken St. Veronica and there was St. Veronica's College down the street, but here it was, Thomas Aquinas College. So that's where I went to college and met my husband there. I won't say more importantly, but he would laugh to hear equally importantly, I met St. Therese there. The first thing that happened when I was on campus was I really encourage your listeners to think about going to or sending their children to authentic Catholic colleges. It was such a turnaround in my life because for a lot of young people, when they go to college, it's the time they lose their faith. But if you send your child or if you choose yourself to go to a Catholic college that is faithful to the church, and there are a good dozen or so in the States, I went to TAC, we call it Thomas Aquinas College. And there I was surrounded by peers who helped me find my faith, who led me deeper into the church. So the first month, October, I also love October. It's a great month to pray for priests and the rosary. On October 7th, was the first Friday of October that year, just after I had gotten to school. And I went to a holy hour in the middle of the night because the campus had a 40 hours devotion. And a friend who was a senior and kind of leading me along a little way, she said, here's a book you can take with you to read in the holy hour. And it was about St. Therese. And when I got there and I read a little bit, I was charmed and really loved her and thought, oh, I like this saint. And about 2 years later in college, I read Story of a Soul, and that's St. Therese's sort of memoir autobiography. And just reading it, you're breathing Jesus. Her intimacy with him shows you something you've never expected was possible. And she shares her little way in that book. And I was even more deeply smitten and in love with her. So my husband and I got married and we discovered the book, I Believe in Love, also about St. Therese. And we started giving that out to people. And he would read that over and over for his spiritual reading. And it was really heavily speaking of confidence in God, her confidence in God and her little way in terms of abandoning everything to him. She says, we can never have too much confidence in the good God. He is so mighty and so merciful. So we were married at that point. We went to graduate school and studied with Dr. Ralph McInerney at Notre Dame. And then my husband got a job teaching at Christendom College in Virginia, another great Catholic school. And we were able to have me stay home with our newborn son, Joseph. I expected that I would have lots of children, and I was very excited about that. I was from a family of four, and my husband from a family of three. And we thought, we've met families now with 10, 9, 7, 12, 16 children. Like, let's have a lot of kids for God and raise them to be saints. And God just smiled and said, you know, we'll give you one and see how you do. And then 12 years later, no more children had come. We were hoping and hoping. But meanwhile, I was, you know, we were involved in educating at Christendom and educating our son. And my mom and my aunt went on a trip to Lisieux, and they said, we're going to pray for you to have another baby. And I said, oh, that's great. But, you know, pray for this other intention for a friend of mine, for this, for that. I don't know if this is an exact quote, but they said, whatever, we're praying for you to have a baby. So they went and asked St. Therese to send another baby. And several months later, I found out I was pregnant, to our joy and surprise. I still remember our then 11-year-old Joseph falling back on the couch when we told him and saying, I must be dreaming. And then talking about the little brother he planned to have. And I realized we just found out we might be having a girl. I don't know. And he said, no, you know, he was just determined it was going to be a boy. And God answered that desire of his. We had another boy. But the beautiful part was, when I went to the doctor, we found out my due date was October 1st, the Feast of St. Therese. Seemed very clear that she said, I know a lot of other people prayed, and I know a lot of saints interceded, and Our Lady was there, and Saint Joseph, but really, this one's on me. I'm doing this for you. So,
a wonderful story.
Fast forward, and I guess one highlight in my life with Saint Therese was in 1997, we were still at Christendom, and Therese was named a doctor of the church by John Paul II. And a priest friend of ours, a wonderful priest, said, let's have a party. I'll say mass that night, and we'll have, can we have your house? I'll buy the pizza. And I said, sure, let's do it. And he said, you know, a few students will come. We ended up having a party with 70 people, mostly students, to celebrate St. Therese's doctorate. And I used our wedding guest book to have everyone there write their names in. So she's really been a part of things as we went along. My husband then decided that we both just felt moved by the Holy Spirit after so many wonderful years at Christendom. We felt like it would be a delight to come back to California. Maybe the winters were getting long. Mm-hmm. And so he, by the grace of God, got a job as a tutor, which is the word for a teacher here out at Thomas Aquinas College, where we had been undergraduates. And we've been here now for the last 18 years or so. Mm-hmm. And in that time, I guess it started at our last couple of years in Virginia. I wrote a book on homeschooling, since that's what we were doing at the time. And we would talk a lot about education, and I read a lot of books about homeschooling. And so I wrote a book called Homeschooling with Gentleness. And that came out with Christendom Press in 2003 or four. And it featured St. Therese and her little way as a kind of prototype for, I might say, lowering the bar. Some people homeschool because they're excited to teach their children Greek in third grade. And we we thought it would be great to homeschool.
I see that all the time.
We thought it would be great to homeschool so that we didn't have to get up too early in the morning to take our kids to, you know, we're a very chill family. And as you can see, we love books. And so I definitely just provided a lot of books for our kids and had the fun of teaching them about the saints as the liturgical year progressed. So this found me years later. I was able to write another book on homeschooling, including a lot of other families who homeschooled. And this was called A Little Way of Homeschooling. And that, published by Hillside Education, that book features a picture of St. Therese on the cover and had a lot more about her little way. Then in 2016, I discovered a beautiful Eucharistic grace that Therese had to have the sacred species of Holy Communion remain in her between communions, which is a great grace that some of the great saints have had that we never hear about. But she asked our Lord, remain in me as in a tabernacle, never separate yourself from your little victim of love. She was so in love with him, she didn't want his presence, his body and blood, to leave her and his soul and divinity. But we know he dwells in us by baptism, but that sacred species, that presence in Holy Communion of his incarnate self, only lasts, scientists and theologians have agreed, about 15 minutes, because the Eucharist is, in a sense, digested, although we are divinized and brought into God through that. But she asked that he would stay in her. So I did research on this and discovered that there were other saints who experienced this. And delightfully, she's the one who asked for it. So St. Anthony Marie Claret is famous for this miracle. And his iconography, he has a host on his chest. But he was, you know, felt himself entirely unworthy of this, and yet did write about it. And his biographers asked, did he really have this? And yes, he did. And then St. Faustina and St. Padre Pio, nearer to our own time, also experienced this miracle. Wow.
So let me just ask, so just to clarify, what did you say? He had a host on his chest?
Oh, St. Anthony Marie Claret.
Yeah.
As on his iconography,
on his
image of him, you can see the host on his chest.
So he's depicted that way
to represent this greatest miracle, or one of the greatest that he had, a charism, a gift from God, that inside him, the Blessed Sacrament remained between communions. Jesus,
gotcha.
That way. So yeah, that's right.
These three or four saints that you're mentioning here, Therese and Anthony and Pio and
Faustina.
They asked for it, or they received it. How does the Eucharist manifest itself?
Well, this is what's so great about it. The ones before her, and there are those who have written about the Blessed Mother saying, Venerable Mary of Agreda in the City of God says the Blessed Mother was the first to receive this gift, because when Jesus left, and he says, I think at the end of Matthew, at his ascension, he says in the Gospels, I will remain with you always. And then he leaves. And you think, what was that about? Mm-hmm. And the mystery is that he remains in the Blessed Sacrament with us on earth all the time. But they didn't have churches and tabernacles back then. And so he remained in the Blessed Mother in this incorrupt state. She was his first tabernacle when he was in her womb in the incarnation. But now she was his tabernacle as St. John would give her Holy Communion each day, and he would remain with her between communions, thus remaining with his apostles as well.
Wow.
Well, that'll put chills up your spine.
Wow, that is wonderful. We are visiting with Susie Andrus about St. Therese of Lisieux, and we've heard a little bit about Susie and who she is in segment one. And when we come back with segment two, we're going to hear even more about the book, A Shower of Roses. You're listening to The Chatter on 98.3 KCRD-FM. We'll be right back.
We're back in the studios of FM 98.3 KCRD on the Our Lady of Good Success radio network. You can hear us in Platteville on WPBO and in Dyersville on KGDR.
I know. And of course, here in Dubuque, 98.3 KCRD. So, and we want to remind listeners, if they have not yet gotten their tickets to our fall banquet, Mary Queen of Heaven, on October 9th, which is coming right up.
Thursday night, October 9th.
They could give you a call, 563-231-3545, or they can go online, kcrd-fm.org, and get their tickets. Rosary starts at 5:15, dinner at 6, and the program at 6:45.
With Father Dwight Campbell.
Awesome. So during the break, I just had to ask Susie a little bit more clarification about the host remaining with St. Therese, because she mentioned it happened with a couple other saints. So, Susie, can you talk just a little bit about that? Because I can imagine some of our listeners are going, what is she talking about? How did they know that was going on?
Right.
Okay, absolutely. So first I want to say, The way that I got on this show was that we're going to talk about a beautiful new book by Angelico Press, published by Angelico, called A Shower of Roses.
Right.
And that's what we're going to get to. But before that, my history takes me through so many other books about St. Therese that we've gotten to one that I wrote and came out in the pandemic, actually, in 2020. And it's called Something New with St. Therese, Her Eucharistic Miracle. In this book, I write chapter after chapter to explain this very perplexing question. How was it that St. Therese asked for and thought she received the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament remaining in her between communions? As we know, in the life of the church, there's so much history of beautiful saints. You don't really want to find something totally new. You kind of wonder if that's off the charts. So I looked up in other saints and found out by the Holy Spirit's help and the guardian angels, there were other saints who received this grace. I mentioned St. Anthony Marie Claret, Padre Pio, St. Faustina, and another is Blessed Dina Bellanger from Canada. But as far as I know of these others, they discovered they had this grace because our Lord revealed it to them. Most familiar to us would be St. Faustina's diary. And there's a diary entry in which Jesus says to Faustina, from now on, I'm remaining in you in the Blessed Sacrament between communions. He's very explicit about it, as if you're the tabernacle, the host doesn't corrupt. So with Therese, she did not have this revealed to her. She had very few sort of mystical graces in her lifetime. She was very ordinary and wanted to be because she wanted, when she discovered her little way of how God will do everything and we can rest in his arms like children and be open to his graces, ask and cooperate, but definitely God is the one with the initiative. She was the bold child who dared to ask for this grace. I don't think she knew about it in the other saints, but she just thought, I want to receive communion as often as I can in my Carmel. This was before Pope St. Pius X made communion, daily communion, more possible again. Jansenism and scrupulosity had ravaged France and the church so that her, even though Leo XIII in the late 1800s had said religious convents can have daily communion, St. Therese's mother superior was afraid of that, Mother Marie de Gonzague. So Therese would only get to receive communion sometimes, not like us, once or even twice a day as possible.
Right.
So she said, I know you're going to fulfill my desires and a desire to receive communion much more than I can, but are you not all powerful? This is in her act of oblation to Merciful Love. So she says, remain in me as in a tabernacle, never separate yourself from your little victim. And even us, if we get to receive communion once a day, this is a prayer for us to ask Jesus to remain from one day to the next. Well, how could she know? She couldn't know, but her confidence led her to believe and trust. And her sisters said, yes, she meant this literally. And they said, did she receive it? Well, God gave her every desire that she had. She talks about it over and over in Story of a Soul in her last conversations. We think he gave her this one too. And she loved this grace because it was so hidden. And she encouraged everyone to also ask for this grace because it doesn't make you, you know, visible to everyone else. Like you said, you know, I was mentioning in his pictures, St. Anthony Claret has a picture of the host on him, but no one could see that outside him. And so similarly with Therese, she hopefully had this hidden grace and she wants us to ask for it as well.
Well, that's a wonderful thing for us to do when we receive communion, to ask Jesus to remain with us until we receive next.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Fascinating.
Beautiful. So that was one of the things that got you going on. Well, we've heard you love St. Therese, but so you've already written a book and now you're more on St. Therese. So how did the Shower of Roses book come about?
Yes. So this book was written by the woman who has my dream job. She is in France. She's the lay archivist of the Carmel of Lisieux. So Therese grew up in this tiny village in northern France. And she entered at 15, the monastery, the Carmelite monastery or convent, we might call it there. And she was there only until 24 when she died of tuberculosis, but really a victim of love, a martyr of love, in the sense that she had given herself to God completely and asked that he send to her all the tenderness and love that others did not receive and refused, so that she could receive it. And being inundated by that love, she died at a young age. Well, she left behind beautiful writings, which her sisters sent out 1 year later as the circular letter, the obituary, to the other Carmels in France. I think there were 120 at that time, to other religious houses, other Carmels, to religious orders. But, you know, it was like they did this all the time, only this one was special because it turned out it was Story of a Soul. And it took off because while she had wanted to be hidden on earth to just love Jesus, she said before she died, and I'm going to quote from this Shower of Roses book, she said a couple months before she died, she said, "I feel that I'm about to enter my rest in heaven, but above all, I feel that my mission is about to begin, my mission to have the Lord loved as I love him, to give my little way to souls. If the Lord answers my desires, my heaven will be spent on earth till the end of the world. Yes, I want to spend my heaven doing good on earth. It is not impossible, since even within the beatific vision, the angels are looking after us. I'm not enthralled by the delights awaiting me in heaven. I can't rest as long as there remain souls to be saved. But when the angel will have announced time is no more, then I will rest. Then I can enjoy heaven's delights, for the number of the elect will be complete and will have entered into joy and rest. My heart is thrilled with this thought." Well, she was not joking around, and talk about her desires being fulfilled. When we look back and wonder, did she have the Blessed Sacrament in her and her desires were, this sort of is another argument for that, because what happened was, a year after she died, they send out this book. Her uncle, who Isidore Guérin, very holy good man, he was a pharmacist. His pharmacy in Lisieux is the almost the one place that has not been preserved. It's now a Subway sandwich shop. Which you can, I asked permission when I was in Lisieux, and I went to the second floor and looked out the same windows Therese had looked out from her uncle's house under the same streets next to the same cathedral that was her parish church. Well, what happened to this town? It became a really big deal after she left it. She had been nothing while she was there. After they sent out this letter, which again, they did this for every nun, this one did not fall into oblivion. In fact, it was almost immediately translated in all sorts of different languages. And letters began coming back from the people who had read it and the people who were asking her intercession. And they said, "She's given me this grace. She's given me that grace. I'm a missionary. She converted this people that I could not make any headway with. My husband was dying. Now he's healed." And Angelico Press recently published, maybe a few years ago, a book called Stronger Than Steel, which are letters from the soldiers of World War One, the Great War, who had written to Saint Therese about all the miracles she had done on the battlefield, rescuing them. She was still Sister Therese. Her autobiography, her Story of a Soul that they had sent out, was now being translated into all sorts of languages. I think in like 10 years, it had become in maybe 35 languages, 30 languages. In the war, when you didn't have much paper, they were getting like 300 letters a day from people about her. What is going on? Well, her cause began, and Pope Benedict XV said, "I'm making an exception, and we can strike a medal for her, for the soldiers. They're demanding it." Her cult was spreading, and he said, "Hurry this cause, because we don't want the people to get ahead of the church's proclamation." So 1923, she's proclaimed blessed. And then 1925, she loves miracles so much that on the day of her beatification, 30 miracles were reported to have occurred on that day. They only needed two. You know, we have a particular venerable we want canonized, and we're praying and praying. If only there were a miracle, we only require one now, then it was two. They had so many miracles. And Angelico Press, having published Stronger Than Steel a few years ago, it was a translation from a new edition that was put out. But originally, the Carmel in, like, let's say, starting in 1910, they had published little books called The Shower of Roses, in French, Pluie de Rose. And those little books, they had put at the back of Story of a Soul, and they would tell miracle stories. because I'm in love with Saint Therese and I love books, I have some of these books from 100 years ago in French, but they're not available now widely or even narrowly. But what happened was the lay archivist, Camille Burrett, who's at the Carmel now, she managed to write a beautiful book that has stories from these letters that were sent, but not just those that were published 100 years ago, but miracles, letters that were sent from those who had miracles up until the present time. So this book I saw in French, a friend told me about it. I got it on my Kindle. I have a translate feature on my Kindle and I started reading little bits of it. And I was so excited because there were miracles I've heard about, but never read. There were miracles that were more recent. There were the stories I had read in old English copies of Story of a Soul that are 100 years old that you can't find now. And they're all in a brand new book. So I contacted Angelico Press and I said, hey, I'll translate this book for you. I said, I'll translate this book. They said, we didn't know you could translate. And I said, no, I can't, but I can get the Kindle to do it. Now, they're professionals at Angelico. So they said, no, how about this? We'll go back to the French nun who translated Stronger Than Steel, the book of letters that we published recently of French soldiers and others who had been saved by Therese in World War I. Stories in there about, for instance, I had a paperback copy of Story of a Soul on my person when I was shot. And you can see in the museum next to the Carmel of Lisieux to this day, there's a book with that stopped a bullet. And I asked my son, is that possible? And he said, well, no, I mean, the speed of a bullet would have gone through the book, but clearly Therese was the one who stopped that bullet. People, soldiers who were dragged off the battlefield and thought a nurse was on the battlefield and saved them. And later someone would say, there was no one, there's not going to be a woman, a female nurse. And then they saw a picture of Saint Therese and said, oh, Sister Therese said that she was the one who did it.
Wow.
So that was the first book. They said, we will translate Shower of Roses. And this, you're right, this looks like a magnificent book. We'll get it out to the English-speaking public. A Shower of Roses is the name of it. The subtitle, The Most Beautiful Miracles of Saint Therese of Lisieux, and the author, Camille Burrett. She is French. I can't have her job. She's in no danger because she knows French and I don't. She's a French woman. But she is very busy with her job in the Carmel of Lisieux, where all these letters are and so many other beautiful things connected with Saint Therese. Whereas I'm out in sunny Southern California and I need some distractions from, you know, just going to the beach and wasting my life away. So Angelico contacted me and asked if I would be willing to publicize the book. That's why I'm here and not someone who wrote the book, but I've read it twice and more. I love this book. I can't recommend it highly enough because it's a beautiful combination of both Saint Therese's miracles and her doctrine. She kind of gives us a 1-2 punch. She's a great saint because she told us before she went to heaven, I want to share my little way. I want to do good on earth. That's exactly what happened. Story of a Soul is now, there is an estimated 500 million copies of Story of a Soul in print. And if your listeners haven't read it, or even if they have, get that dusty volume off the shelf, read Story of a Soul, but then read Shower of Roses, and you will find out what she's been doing to show that God's infinite love is as powerful for us individually as she has claimed.
Well, you know, I want to just start reading the book right now because
it's
your endorsement.
Great.
But as people are listening, they might wonder, how can they get a copy of A Shower of Roses? How would they do that?
I would say that you can go on the internet and you could go to Angelico Press. That would be the most direct way. Also, you'll be able to see this other book they've published, Stronger Than Steel, two books on St. Therese's miracles. Great Christmas presents, if it's not too early to say that, because many people I know have like a parent or maybe a man in their lives, even a woman, but who's away from the faith, who would, the Stronger Than Steel book would very much appeal to the more masculine. Of course, it would appeal to the feminine as well, because the men were the soldiers, but the women were the ones praying for them or sending them with an image of Saint Therese that ended up saving their lives. Then A Shower of Roses also on Angelico Press. But, you know, let's be honest, most of us just can't resist that one click on Amazon. So do it. No one's going to mind. Go to Amazon and pull up A Shower of Roses. You'll see a beautiful picture of Saint Therese. It's almost worth it just for the cover. That's a painting of her holding a crucifix and roses. And you can, I'm sure, get the book within a couple of days, either in hardback or paperback or Kindle, e-reader.
And then they can also order Stronger Than Steel. So they can order
Yes.
both of them, right?
Yes. They're both
Great.
terrific, terrific books. So inspiring. This one, A Shower of Roses, adds to Stronger Than Steel because the miracles come up to the current time. Oh my goodness. I was thinking about this beautiful miracle that happened in, I want to say, 2008. No, 2003. A woman's husband had died and she had been praying. He was dying of cancer. She prayed to Saint Therese to help him to have a peaceful death. They knew he was going to die, but please let it be peaceful. And then, sure enough, after he dies, she's praying to know he's in heaven. She comes out of a store and sees her car covered with rose petals. Not a single rose petal on any other car around it, and realizes this is Saint Therese and writes a letter to the Carmel telling them. That's in this book along with, oh, hundreds of others of miracles spanning the decades.
Oh my goodness. Oh, just makes me want to pick it up and read it. We are visiting with Susie Andrus, and she's talking about the book A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of Saint Therese of Lisieux. And people could go to angelicopress.com, or as Susie suggested, they could go to Amazon and click on A Shower of Roses and click on the companion book, Stronger Than Steel. So we are taking a break, and we will be right back after these messages.
Back in the studios of FM 98.3 KCRD on the Our Lady of Good Success radio network, episode number 1176 with Susie Andrus. And we should let people know that these episodes, all 176 of them, live forever at kcrd-fm.org. We get a lot of people wanting to go back and listen. The shows air Friday and Saturday at 1 p.m. on the network and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Just nod your head and say I'm right, would you?
Yeah, okay.
And but if you don't catch the broadcast, you can catch the podcast.
That's right. I actually know a lot of people that prefer to listen on the podcast because if they think about, oh, I want to check out the latest show, they don't have to wait until Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And I know they're doing that because as we were building out the broadcast network on the terrestrial signals, we had to take some of the website down.
Mm.
And I got some calls.
Did you?
Yes. Not all of them were friendly.
Well, that's great. It's nice to know people are listening. Well, we ended segment two with a miracle story that Susie told us from the book A Shower of Roses. But I love stories. I love miracle stories. Do you have another one or two as we start this
I
segment?
absolutely do. I think I would want to preface this miracle by saying Saint Therese is so near to us. She is so much fun and kind of mischievous. She's mischievous too. She said in a letter to one of her spiritual brothers, they had her writing to a couple missionaries from the Carmel to inspire them and offer her prayers. And she said to one of them, you know, you have to understand what's going on with the blessed in heaven. You sometimes think they might be judgy of you, and you're worried what they're going to think of you if they can see through God what you're really like. But that's not at all what's going on. The blessed in heaven were just like us on earth. The saints, they knew and know what it was like to suffer as we do and to go through all our little ups and downs, however silly they are. You know, you decide to give up coffee or chocolate for Lent, and the next day you're biting off someone's head instead, and you realize maybe I ought to scale back. They were like this, and Saint Therese shows that more than some others, and so they want to help us. Well, she said, and others around her said, wouldn't it be neat to know a saint? She said, I want to be a saint. but I am to them like a grain of sand to the mountains. How am I going to become a saint when I'm this small? And then she did not say, I love this about her. She did not say, I guess I better tackle a different virtue every day and just become super holy. She didn't put it on herself. She put it on God. She looked to the scriptures and she found these passages where our Lord said to her one after the other, you can read about them in Story of a Soul. He said to her, come to me and I will, she said, there are elevators nowadays. I need an elevator to get me to heaven. I can't climb the steep stairway of perfection. And then she found these passages in scripture where our Lord says, climb on my lap, basically. She said, oh, Jesus, your arms, your knees, you're the one that's going to take me to heaven. So here she was dying. She had been instructing the novices in her Carmel. They were distraught at her leaving, but especially a beautiful novice, Sister Marie of the Trinity. Sister Marie of the Trinity was just crying and crying. She said to Therese, life is so sad. And Therese said, oh, life isn't sad. And she said, oh, you mean this life of exile? Oh yeah, this life is a kind of a bummer, but heaven, life, real life is happy. And I want you to be happy too. And she was always trying to find ways to be joyful in this life to please Jesus. Well, she said to Marie, Marie said, I'm going to cry buckets when you're gone. And Therese said, no, you're not allowed to. Here's a little shell. You can cry into the shell and that's all. When the shell is full, of course, how mischievous and silly is that? You put a shell up to your eye, a little shell from, not a big one, a little one. And, you know, you're going to stop crying. Well, Marie did not obey her as it was getting closer to her death because she said, I want to cry, you know. So now here's the miracle I wanted to share that's one of my favorites. The day after her death, according to custom, I'm reading from A Shower of Roses, published by Angelico Press. And this is one of the miracles that happened closer to her death. I mean, right after, the day after her death, according to custom, Therese's body was exhibited at the choir grill of the Carmel's chapel. Carmelite nuns, the ones in her monastery, would take objects from people passing through to see her. Oh, here, a holy nun died, and you can hand me your rosary and I'll touch it to her. It'll be like a relic. When Therese died, Sister Marie of the Trinity was entrusted with this duty of touching things from the people. She was touching a rosary to the body when an extraordinary event took place. And now in the book, A Shower of Roses, the author, Camille Barrette, quotes directly from Marie of the Trinity's testimony. Contrary to what the servant of God, Therese, had asked me, I was crying unceasingly and could not console myself on her death. Well, when I got closer to her so as to have her touch a rosary someone had just handed on to me, she, this is, sorry, dead Therese. This is her body. Therese is alive in heaven, but this is her body, right? This kind of shows us the sanctity of the bodies of the saints. I got closer so as to have her touch a rosary someone had just handed to me. She started to hold tight to it. Very gently, I lifted her fingers to take it back, but every time I removed this rosary from one finger, it was immediately taken back by another finger. I did it again 5 or 6 times to no avail. My little sister Therese was smiling and telling me inwardly, as long as you will not show me a smile, I will not give it back to you. As for me, I kept replying to her, no, I'm too upset. I prefer to cry.
People, she says that to the deceased.
Yes.
Who's people, holding on to the rosary.
And, right. And then there are people standing nearby. Now they're not, they just wonder what, they can't see this exactly, but people at the grill, because there's a little enclosure, there people at the grill were wondering why on earth I was taking so much time. It had been going on for maybe 5 minutes. I was quite embarrassed about it and begged my little Therese to let me take back the rosary. I even pulled it to have it by force to no avail. It was as if she had iron fingers to hold it, and yet her fingers had remained very supple. In the end, unable to take this anymore, I began to smile. It was what she wanted, for she immediately let go of the rosary and it was in my hands without me having to pull it.
Wow, look at that. What a great story.
So she is mischievous.
She is.
She is very mischievous. Then, not all of them are silly. I mean, one of my favorite stories in here is about a little girl in Ireland in the early, I guess it was about 100 years ago. She wanted this one is sweet. Literally, she wanted a square of chocolate that cost a half penny, and they didn't have the money for that. So she prayed to Saint Therese, and then she got angry and she said, "Saint Therese, if you don't give this to me, I'm never going to pray for you again. I'm going to say one Hail Mary." Halfway through the Hail Mary, she sees something glinting, and it's a penny. So she immediately takes it, goes and buys a chocolate square, brings the half penny back to her mother, and says, "Oh no, I forgot to say the other half of the Hail Mary." And her mom says, "Don't worry, after the rosary tonight, you and I will say a whole Hail Mary to thank Saint Therese for this." Well, this story was told and written to the Carmel in, I think, 2003. The dear little girl had grown to be 80 years old with a lifelong devotion to Saint Therese. Those are delightful. There are also awesome stories of Saint Therese going and bringing about the conversion of the Eskimos, about Therese going to places in Africa or far off missions. She is the co-patroness of missionaries. She wanted to go, not just
Wow.
pray. And missionaries all over the world invoke her. And this is why there are statues of her everywhere. She's just a powerhouse. And what she says is, "On this earth, I did God's will only, not mine. So now in heaven, he has to do my will," which I love because I'm afraid I do my will a pretty large portion of the time. And I have Therese as my ally, and I can tell God, she did your will though. So let's get her to get what we need.
That I love what I love about that story about the chocolate is it's such a little thing, right? It's not curing someone of cancer. It's such a little thing. And her theology is kind of known as the little way. Can you tell us a little bit more about how she decided just to let God do all of the work, so to speak? Can you tell us more about the little way?
Okay. So there have been, I think in my house, I have hundreds of books on Saint Therese. So I think there are
Hundreds.
thousands of books,
Wow.
thousands of books. There are an estimated 500 million copies of Story of a Soul out there. It's been translated into every language. And essentially, it's trying to get across one thing. That is the center of the little way is the infinite love God has for each of us, exactly where we are, in exactly any situation. We get so caught up, and the devil loves to confuse us about this. We get caught up in our sins, whether we are frustrated because we've snapped at our children or our husband or our wife one more time, or whether it's something big, whether we fell into a sin, with internet pornography or some kind of over drinking or overusing of drug using, I mean, there are all kinds of things that happen to us, and we tend to think abortion, my goodness. We tend to think, I guess that's it. I guess I'm just so bad. It's like Adam and Eve. It's the same old story, I'm just going to hide in shame. Therese, as a child, had very loving parents, and they taught her, and she had the gift of her temperament to come right away to them. If something was wrong, she ran to them. One day she had torn a little piece of the wallpaper. She couldn't wait for her dad to get home. So she ran up to him and said, "Papa, Papa, look what I did," and threw herself in his arms, knowing that he would, Saint Louis, as it turned out, embrace her and forgive her. She was not the child. I mean, as parents, we can see how hard it is when we have a poor child suffering from some sort of scruples or hidden away from us who won't open her heart, his heart to us. That's all we want as a parent is to be able to help. God is infinitely more of this. Therese understood that better than anyone. That was the ground of her little way, the foundation. And what she's saying is, God is our father. We are his children. All we need to do is go and tell him we're sorry and let him take us in his arms. He is right there. No matter how far you are, he's actually right behind you, just waiting for you to turn the slightest bit. The prodigal son story. She herself lived a very virtuous life and was died at 24, was very relieved when a priest in confession told her, "You've never committed a mortal sin." However, she said to her sister, "After I'm gone and you send out Story of a Soul," because at the end of her life, this became clear it was going to happen. She said, "Put the story in about from the Desert Fathers about the sinner who was a great sinner, a sort of Mary Magdalene type who converted and was sent into the desert to do penance for the next 30 years, and how the first night she died of love and was taken up in the arms of God because she was so grateful to be released from her sins. God didn't want her to do all that penance. He wanted to take her to himself. She said, if the last words, which she wrote in pencil of Story of a Soul, if I were to have all of the sins of the world on my conscience, I would still run into his arms. It is confidence. And this is her famous line. It is confidence and nothing but confidence that must lead us to love. Pope Francis has a beautiful apostolic exhortation. We're celebrating this year the 100th anniversary of Teresa's canonization, and that was only 2 years after her beatification. So in that year, 2 years ago, it was also the 150th year of her birth. So Pope Francis sent out this letter. The title was in French, C'est la confiance, but in English, it is confidence. And he said in the beginning, if the only thing she ever wrote was, it is confidence and nothing but confidence that must lead us to love, that would have been enough to make her a doctor of the church. That's her little way.
And it's just so accessible to all of us that think,
yes,
well, I can't do great penances or I can't do great fast, but I can do something little.
Exactly, exactly.
That gives us hope. Now, I also want to ask you about relics, because you had mentioned on the break that her relics are going to be in the States. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, this is a delightful treat for this Jubilee Year of Hope. It is a centenary visit, the 100th year of her canonization. First, to say a little tiny bit about relics, I was in Lisieux and got to, I never thought I would be. It was a dream come true. It was crazy that I got there, but I was there and I got to be near where Therese's body is buried. When she was dying, her sisters said, wouldn't it be great if you were incorrupt? And she said, no. I want everything I do. Just like you said, Colleen, I want it all to be imitable. People can't imitate being incorrupt. And that's what huge saints do. I'm a little saint. It's not going to happen. When they exhumed her body as part of the process, they found she had gone to bones and dust very quickly. The one thing that did not corrupt was the green palm of martyrdom they had put in, because she wanted to be a martyr of love. That's still green and fresh in the Carmel of Lisieux.
Oh my.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know, like many of the saints, little slivers of her bones were taken, and there are first-class relics in different places. A first-class relic is a bone of a saint. A second-class relic is something the saint used, like her desk is in, I think, Darien, Illinois, in the National Shrine, her little lap desk, like we might use to put a computer on our lap. A third-class relic is touched to a first-class relic. A piece of cloth may be touched to something. If you had a cloth that she wore, that would be a second-class relic. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas has an answer in the Summa Theologiae. He's another favorite saint of mine. And you think of the two of them, there's such a great contrast. He's big and she's little. He is the common universal doctor. What they share is that every pope since each of them died has endorsed them over and over again. I think every pope since Therese has read Story of a Soul and he said to the world, this little way is safe. Go for it. If we would all do this, we'd be in great shape. With St. Thomas, they're endorsing his theology. And in his Summa Theologiae, he has this very accessible article, delightful, that I became aware of when I was in Lisieux, because next to the relics of Louis and Zélie, now St. Louis and Zélie, her parents, in the Basilica of St. Therese, there was a little quote on the wall that they put in English for me, just on like a bulletin board. And it was from St. Thomas. And it said, when something like we love those things, when we love someone, we love those things of that person. So your grandma dies, you would love to have something of hers. It doesn't have to be her pearls if they were real. It could be her coffee mug. You just love to have something that belonged to her. And St. Thomas says all the more so with their bodies. I know a woman, a friend of mine died, and I asked her family, could I have a lock of her hair? I mean, she's not going to be a canonized saint most likely, but she was a lovely woman who was very faithful in her beautiful death. And I wanted a lock of her hair. So similarly, the first class relics of the saints are part of their body. But St. Thomas says these bodies were not only like ours, filled with the Holy Spirit, but they really cooperated. We know because they're saints that these bodies will be glorified like Christ's. And so God loves to work miracles near these relics. St. Therese's relics are in Lisieux, maybe little splinters here and there. But what the Carmel out there did, and those in charge of St. Therese, they sent out in 1997 for the 100th year of her death, this huge, beautiful Brazilian reliquary, kind of like the traveling Virgin of Fatima statue, but this is a 300-pound, 6-foot-long, beautifully carved wooden box gilded with silver that contains her relics. They are going to be coming to the United States on a tour. They will be in Holy Hill, Wisconsin from November 15th to 18th. Holy Hill is not too far from you guys. I think about 3 hours, November 15th to 18th. They'll start October 1st in Royal Oak, Michigan, her relics, and all the places receiving her will be ready for lots of visitors and lots of miracles. They'll come to California, Texas. Your listeners can go to St. Therese USA 2025 dot org, I think it is. But you know, if you put in St. Therese relics, USA in Google, they will come right up. Whatever your search engine is, just put in St. Therese relics and you'll find this schedule.
Well, that is fantastic.
Yeah, not to be missed. Yeah, to be awesome. Missed.
Yeah, Holy Hill is not that far away, so that could be doable.
Can you believe we're out of time?
We are out of time. We've been visiting with Susie Andrus about the book, A Shower of Roses, The Most Beautiful Miracles of St. Therese of Lisieux. I highly encourage our listeners to get a copy, and the copy, the companion book, Stronger Than Steel, Soldiers of the Great War, Write to St. Therese of Lisieux. So we are all out of time. I do want to put one more plug in for our conference on Thursday, October 9th, Mary Queen of Heaven, our fall banquet, Thursday, October 9th. Call 563-231-3545 for tickets, or go online kcrd-fm.org and get your tickets today.
Susie, thank you for being our guest on our episode number 176. On the Our Lady of Good Success radio network. And we
it was a complete pleasure.
We're going to pray, Susie, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thanks to our sponsors over at Manders. Tune in again next week. We love you.